lesson two of the Irish Guitar Podcast. I'm Jerry Gaffney.
And I'm Tony O'Rourke.
Tony, last week we studied a jig called the Blackthorn Stick.
That's right, and I hope that our listeners have been able to practice for at least 30 minutes every day, if not more. And I think it's important to say that you really need to concentrate at this stage on playing accurately. Don't worry too much about the speed, as long as you play accurately. And accuracy and clarity are your primary objectives. Far too often Irish music is marred by playing it too fast. And I know this very well because I've done it myself on too many times.
I suppose, Tony, a lot of people, myself included, think about Irish music, other than laments, as being generally played very fast. Although I know that Martin Hayes' rendition of today's tune on the Under the Moon album is relatively slow.
That's off a lovely album that Martin recorded many years ago now, called Under the Moon. And there's some wonderful fiddle playing on it from a guitar player's perspective. There's just some super accompaniment on that album by a chap called Randall Bays. I don't know Randall at all, I've never met the man, but he's a very fine fiddle player as well. And I think it shows in the way that he accompanies the tunes that he actually knows the tunes. He doesn't just pick a key and start accompanying in a particular key. He actually knows the tunes very well. Martin, I certainly know Martin quite well. Played with him on many occasions, and Martin's father was P.J. Hayes, who was the leader of the Tulla Cayley band from 1949 until his death in 2002. So Martin grew up in a great tradition of Irish music.
Incidentally, we should say, Tony, that whenever we mention a particular rendition or a particular recording, we'll try our best to include a link to it on irishguitarpod.com. Now, you said something to me earlier when we were before this recording. You were saying that Randall Bay's accompaniment was a dadgad guitar accompaniment. What's that?
Well, there's many ways of tuning a guitar. Dadgad is one of the ways. It's a D-A-D, G-A-D tuning. I don't use it. I use a D-A-D, F-sharp, A-D tuning. I also use it on occasions an open A tuning. But I guess for the music that we're presenting on this podcast, in this series anyway, just looking at playing the guitar in the standard tuning. But this... probably, you know, maybe 100 different ways, different tunings on the guitar, and they all have their own unique sounds, and of course there are a unique set of problems as well. It's a very interesting subject, and one that we may explore further down the track. Now, today's tune is a tune called The Hole in the Hedge. And I think it may have originally been in the key of D. Whenever I visit Ireland, a lot of the people that I play with play it in D. But I've transposed it to the key of C. And I've done this because, for my own personal like, the key of C is a lovely key on the guitar. I don't know what it is about it. It just seems to suit the guitar. Maybe it's just my particular guitar that I play. But I've always loved the key of C on the guitar. What I'll do now is perhaps play the tune slowly, so as you can hear what it sounds like, and then we can come back and talk some more about it.
Okay, off we are. Thank you. and not too hard to play, I think. I remember when you first gave me guitar lessons, I needed reminding of the up, down, down, up, down stuff. And I think, given that this is just our second lesson, it might be useful to repeat that for listeners who might be having the same difficulty that I used to have.
Okay. I'll just take you up on that point about not too hard to play. There's not a lot of left-hand movement in the tune, so it's easy in the sense that you don't have to move up and down the neck. The right hand is absolutely critical to playing these tunes, and when I'm playing jigs, as I discussed in lesson one, there's a down, up, down, down, up, down. Down, up, down, down, up, down. It's critical to play down, up, down, down, up, down, down, up, down. It gives you the correct rhythm of the tune.
Okay, thanks, Tony. Now, you told me to remind you to talk about ornamentation in Irish music.
Well, I can talk about ornamentation if we've got a couple of hours.
Well, maybe you could do the short version.
Okay. There, ornamentation depends on the type of instrument that you're playing. So, for instance, fiddle players would use a roll, which is basically a five-note phrase, and that would work on the fiddle. The pipers do a similar thing on the pipes. Now, you can't really do it on the guitar. It doesn't sound right. On the guitar, we use a lot of picked triplets. So perhaps if I play the first bar of the Hole in the Hedge just plain, and then this is with ornamentation, you'll hear there's a little triplet there to begin the tune with.
So by triplet you just mean hitting that string three times very rapidly, is that right?
That's right. And then once you've completed the triplet, you immediately move back into picking the tune as you would have normally. Now in jigs, when you play a triplet, either on the first note of the tune or on the fourth note of the tune, you'll be playing down, up, down, and then the next note would be the equivalent of the third note of the group of three notes. So that would also be down. So the picking for the first bar would be down, up, down for the triplet, and then down for the next note, and then your next three notes, down, up, down. So it would sound like this. It would be down, up, down, and then down, and then down, up, down.
That sounds very complicated.
Oh, after a couple of thousand times, it's very easy. There are other pieces of ornamentation that you can do, for instance, on a guitar, that you wouldn't be able to do on, say, a flute or a tin whistle. And by ornamentation, I'm using a broad definition of ornamentation. That is when you take a note that's part of the tune and then do something to that note. So, for instance, on the guitar, a piece of ornamentation could include perhaps a double stop or a chord as such.
Sorry, what's a double stop, Tony?
Double stop is anything with two notes in it. Two notes that are played simultaneously.
All right. Okay.
And this is why you can't do them on a flute, because, you know, no matter how great a flute player you are, you'll only ever have one note coming out at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So, ornamentation, the other thing that people ask me is where does the ornamentation go? This is largely a self-choice sort of thing. It's a bit like asking somebody what's the best brand of toothpaste to use. It's something that you need to I suppose, experience the tune long enough and listen to as much music as you can, and then you can decide for yourself where you put the ornamentation. If I play perhaps the first two bars, and I'll play you a number of different examples of ornamenting the tune, all of them different. You know, one bar, one or two bars of that tune, and you can see that the possibilities are almost endless. I liken it to playing a game of chess. You know, if you think the first move of the game, after the first move of the game, if we only include the sort of orthodox moves of the game, there's probably five or six different positions that the chess pieces could be in. And after two moves of the game, there's probably 30 or 40 different positions that the chessboard could appear. After three moves, you know, you're looking at maybe over 100 different positions that the chessboard could be in. And after five or six moves, it could be in a million different positions. So music is a bit like that, where you choose your ornamentation according to how you play, and it can be affected by the style of Irish music that you play. It can certainly be affected by the instrument that you can play. And in my own case, speaking from my own experiences, you know, the way that I play music with, say, a session where there might be an accordion player and a piano player, I would play different bits of ornamentation in that setting, whereas if I was sitting down, say, with a flute player and a fiddle player and a bouzouki player, and I'm in a different sort of environment, I would play a slightly different style and to adapt to the different surroundings.
Sometimes, Tony, the ornamentation sounds a bit fussy to me. I mean, not the way you do it, of course, but, like, you know, and sometimes you hear people play and it sounds fussy.
In what sense?
I know, it just sounds like they're over-ornamenting it, that they're, you know, it's a virtuoso performance rather than something that's in keeping with the feel of the music.
Hmm. Well, I suppose, again, this is something that you need to, you know, each individual chooses the amount of ornamentation for their style of playing. I suppose, you know, when I think of somebody that ornaments their music a lot, one of the musicians that readily springs to mind is the great accordion player Joe Durain. Now, I wouldn't play, if I could play accordion that well, heavens above, you'd have to spend a lifetime at it to even get near him. I don't think I would play in that style. Sean Maguire was another one, the great fiddle player, that used to do an enormous amount of things on the fiddle that, again, if I could play fiddle, you know, half as well as that, I wouldn't play it like that. But with both of those men, you know, I've learned so much about music. It really is a personal decision. Mm. as to how much you do. And again, I get back to this thing that I said before, that it also depends very much on the instrument that you're playing. You know, we guitar players, we're a little bit lucky because there's things we can do on the guitar that no other instrument can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tony, in the sheet music, in our sheet music, the ornamentation is indicated by a little arc. Is that right, over the note that's going to be ornamented?
That's correct. There's a number of different ways of writing ornamentation into the music. The old O'Neill's book, the Miles Crasson O'Neill's book, the ornamentation in there is very much written for fiddle players, and I would suggest if you're a guitar player or, you know, any of the picked instruments, the mandolin or the banjo, what I do with O'Neill's is I look at where he's put the ornamentation, and then I just adapt the fiddle ornamentation for the guitar. So if there's a five-note roll in there, I just put in a triplet on the guitar or the banjo. This system that I use, I'm not sure where it started from. I first saw it in the Music for Ireland series of books from Bulmer and Sharpley, which I think came out sometime in the 70s. Excellent series of books. I think there were four in the series. And what they used to do was, because they were just writing the tunes out for no particular instrument, they used to just mark a particular note with a little half moon above the note or under the note, as the case may be, so that people could look at the music and say, oh, that note there, you know, is ornamented, and then ornament it for their particular instrument. So that's the way I've always written my music out. Occasionally I might be a little bit more specific, perhaps in some of the hornpipes and some of the reels where I'll actually write the full ornamentation out. But usually I would typically put a half moon over a quarter note, and that's just to say, okay, that note there might be a place where you might want to ornament the note.
And of course, people who are just beginning to play the tunes, who are learning, can ignore the ornamentation until such time as they're comfortable with it, I suppose.
Well, they can. The problem with that is that they often keep ignoring the ornamentation, and they actually never ever get around to putting it in. If you're starting out, you know, and I suppose if you're an absolute beginner, then you probably need a good teacher,
like yourself.
Well, if you're in the Melbourne area, I'm available. But if you've played guitar for a certain amount of time, and you know, you're reasonably comfortable with it, then what I'd be doing is I'd be adding in one or two pieces of ornamentation for each part of the tune. Not trying to make a big deal of the tune by adding in all sorts of ornamentation, but just put the occasional triplet in so that you can play the tune and at least you know that, okay, I've got one triplet here in the first part and one triplet in the second part of the tune. But be aware that, you know, further down, you probably want to add in a bit more than that as well.
Mm-hmm. So now for the chords, is it, Tony? The accompaniment?
Right, the chords for this tune are C, G, A minor and F. Okay, Now, you'll hear in the second part on the recording that I'm playing in the key of C. You can also play the second part, you can change it to an A minor. And so on. And I often liken this, if you can imagine that you're sitting in a room and you've got a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper on your on your music stand. And you look at that piece of paper and it's a white piece of paper, okay? Then somebody comes into the room and puts some of that green plastic stuff that they use at rock concerts, and they cover the light with this green paper, and the light, the colour from the light changes to green, and so the paper becomes green, or appears to become green. In fact, the paper hasn't changed at all, it's just the background to it. And that's what happens to a tune when you change the chords behind the tune. So in the second part of the tune, by changing it to A minor, you're not actually changing anything to do with the melody, but the melody sounds different, even though you haven't changed the melody. And so the chords can have a very big effect on how the tune sounds, and I might add they can have a negative effect sometimes as well. So it's just an idea that you might want to experiment with in the second part of the tune by playing around with some of the A minor progressions.
And the sheet music in the booklet shows both for two variations, basically.
That's correct, yes.
And I should say, of course, that the booklet contained the sheet music together with chord listings, fingering, scales, and various other useful information for all nine lessons is available for $9 from the website. And I think I said last week there were eight lessons, but in fact there's nine, so sorry for that, any confusion there. And indeed, the material for lesson one can be downloaded free of charge as a sampler. And I should also mention that we'd be very happy to hear listeners' comments and suggestions. And if you'd like to comment, please go to www.irishguitarpod.com and let us know how we're doing and what we could do better.
All right. We'll see you all next week.